PayPay.org.
I'm tripping out.
Oh my god, you guys. Hello, this is Farrah with the Dateable Rebels.
Woohoo!
I have with me two amazing guests today. We have our first guest is a 45-year-old single mother of a teenager, daughter, a divorcee, number nerd professional, dog mom, international adoptee, a survivor, and now a thriver. She uses some of these modalities to help her in her life. Art therapy. She has an emotional support dog who's amazing. Therapy. She is now newly exploring sobriety. And she surrounds herself with those who are on similar paths of self-awareness. Miss So Young. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Hi-do-do. All right. Our second guest is a 42-year-old acupuncturist who has been involved in self-exploration for the past 20 years using resources such as EFT tapping, Buddhist teachings, meditations, essential oils, aromatherapy, yoga, kundalini practices, weekly nonviolent communication practice groups, a weekly men's group, authentic relating practice groups, breath work, and a great therapist, Mr. Jason.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks.
Oh my God, you guys, we're here. We're here and you can hear my earrings. Today, we are here to talk about relationship attachment styles and Jason's mustache. Attachment styles are the first relationships that we learn in our formative years with our caregivers. And so they have a lot to do, like, what do we say, like 88% or something, So Young? You were doing some research on, like, so they say most of your attachment style has to do with your formative years and the caregivers, but then the other is your disposition.
Your natural disposition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, it has a lot to do with your relationships in general, but I mean, right now we're talking about romantic relationships and that's when all the shit comes out. That's when it gets real. So then we are triggered to work on our shit or not. But if we do, then hopefully, like, you know, we become better people in relationships for ourselves and others. So for better or for worse, these are the four attachment styles. Secure, anxious, preoccupied, dismissive, avoidant, and fearful, avoidant. Secure attachment style speaks to 50% of the population, which I'm not really sure about. Well, I don't know. Who knows? Secure attachment style peoples tend to have these characteristics. They have higher emotional intelligence, capable of conveying emotions appropriately and constructively, capable of sending and receiving healthy expressions of intimacy, capable of drawing healthy, appropriate, and reasonable boundaries when required, and they're more likely to handle interpersonal difficulties in stride and discuss issues to solve problems rather than attack a person. Anxious, preoccupied attachment style people sometimes have these characteristics. They're inclined to feel more nervous and less secure about relationships in general and romantic relationships in particular. I would have to say yes for myself. Inclined to have many stressors in relationships based on both real and imagined happenings. These stressors can manifest themselves through a variety of possible issues such as neediness, possessiveness, jealousy, control, mood swings, oversensitivity, obsessiveness, etc. God, I hate this one because it's me. Reluctant to give people the benefit of the doubt, tendency for automatic negative thinking when interpreting others intentions, words, and actions. Requires constant stoking of love and validation, to feel secure and accepted. Responds negatively when not provided with regular positive reinforcement. Goddamn! Dismissive, avoidant, attachment style people tend to have these characteristics. Highly self-directed and self-sufficient, independent behaviorally and emotionally. Avoid true intimacy, which makes one vulnerable and may subject the dismissive avoidant to emotional obligations. Other priorities in life often supersede a romantic relationship, such as work, social life, personal projects, and passions, travel, fun, etc. In these situations, the partner is frequently excluded or holds only a marginal presence. Many have commitment issues, you think? Some prefer to be single than to settle down, even in committed relationships, and I don't know how that works. They prize autonomy above much else. I date these people most of the time. Fearful, avoidant, attachment style people are often associated with highly challenging life experiences such as grief, abandonment, and abuse. Desire but simultaneously resist intimacy and with much inner conflict. Struggle with having confidence and relying on others. Similar to the dismissive avoidant style, pushes people away and have few genuinely close relationships. If you have identified with any of these attachment styles, not to worry. You can heal and change these attachment styles. We all want to be secure attachment, right?
Yeah, oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah. So we can heal these attachment styles with like a lifelong process of intense EMDR commitment. And breath work and fucking like, you know.
Total awareness.
And then we'll die like right after we figured it out, pretty much, basically. Oh, so what do you guys think about all that?
Well, one thing that I think I've understood in researching this for myself over the years is those last three styles tend to be relating to some kind of trauma experienced in childhood before 3 years of age. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's how we attract other people like that. You know, what you're putting out brings people in.
Right. And there are so many fucked up people having babies and then they're fucking up other people. It's just like, how is 50% of the population secure attachment? I wonder when this is from, even. When did they do this
That
study?
Was my question. You read that, actually.
When did they do this study? And
maybe all the secure people are just
on an island?
In, you know, relationships already, and I'm just meeting the last two styles.
Well, they're surely not doing podcasts.
I mean, they might be.
Yeah.
But they might be doing it about, I don't know. Something like really
how great it is
tidy.
To be in love and it's working out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you guys identify with any of those attachment styles?
I would probably say that I identify with anxious attachment style. And it's definitely deep rooted from my experiences of abandonment as an international adoptee. Yeah,
I think for myself personally, anxious, preoccupied sounds pretty accurate. With a lot of the work and awareness practices I've been doing, I've just become a lot more adept at seeing when it's coming up. And I feel like a shift towards maybe a redeemed anxious attachment, preoccupied style, where I'm pretty aware of stuff as it's happening, and now I'm just working a lot on talking about it, bringing it up, having discussions.
Nice.
Whereas before, that was a pretty big challenge for me. So mm-hmm. I could say for my own self, I identify with what you're saying before about having the skills, developing skills, mm-hmm. and working towards that secure attachment. I also work with a lot of people who identify as codependent, so I'm kind of doing this work either on myself, with myself, or with other people mm-hmm. almost every day. So it's, for me, that's been a great way to manage my own shit as it's coming up.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Can you tell us where you do acupuncture, or like how people could get some help from you, like in your acupuncture, if they you know, like with their anxious attachment styles or stuff that.
Yeah, so I mean, acupuncture treats a lot of different things. Mostly, we're working with the autonomic nervous system, mm-hmm. and if we're having a stress response, acupuncture will help to like mitigate that. The places where I'm doing acupuncture, I'm not just working with that type of a thing. I am treating the full range. It's mostly pain and orthopedic conditions, but in Northeast Minneapolis, I'm at Northeast Wellness. Nice. I treat people in my home that I know really well in Uptown, and then I have a private space that I sublet from a chiropractor in Golden Valley.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's important to have some different ways to cope with things. I would definitely identify with anxious as fuck attachment style.
Is there an anxious AF category?
There is. It's new. It just happened. I just made it up.
Congratulations.
I love it. I mean, and you two can definitely like testify that I've come to you with a lot of anxiety in my relationships. So thank you. Yeah, I can relate to a lot of what that said about anxious attachment styles and doing the work, which has been really hard, but like
humbling,
super worth it and humbling. Yeah. You're just like, oh shit.
I kind of am at a new place with some of this in my patients and just myself and the people in my men's group where I'm trying to get away from using the word work. Because who the fuck likes work, man? Mm. That's kind of a negative for a lot of people. And mm-hmm. one of the things in the nonviolent communication practice group is try to kind of get out of that like labeling and judgment.
I like the word work.
It's like I like work, to use actually. The word growth.
That's a good one.
Growth
too.
Or like playing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. in this space and exploring might be another good term for people who don't like work.
Right.
I like my work, yeah. So it doesn't bother me, but I've run into people where they're like, I gotta do work now. Fuck that. I'm gonna put it off another 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely like the terminology of growing because it's proverbial stretch marks that are, you know, the pain we're enduring. So, and sometimes that's the scarring of all the work, mm-hmm. you know, but from all the growth. So, yeah, it just depends what your spin is on words, but it's applying yourself, being self-aware, and doing something about it, and knowing that there's resources out there to change, you know, your attachment style should it be something that is a detriment to your romantic relationships. I did kind of notice, like when I was in my younger years, I was more so of avoidant attachment mm-hmm. style.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's because when you grow up and you internalize everything, mm-hmm. I think that some of the trauma has to do with repressing. You don't want to address things, and so as much as, you know, we all, you know, strive to be secure, in some ways, I kind of feel like I had to do a little ping pong between the avoidant. Now I'm more anxious, and now I need to start filtering myself, being more self-aware of how I communicate, and really learning new ways to self-soothe, mm-hmm. which definitely can be challenging, I think, and that's where anxious attachment, when I communicate excessively, it's trying to find ways to soothe oneself, and that's really one of the reasons why I had chosen to dive into sobriety. Because you really need to feel your feelings. You really need to see, you need to realize, as Jason had said, that you know, or has said before, where it's like emotions. I mean, they are temporary. They're going to pass.
Right. And there's no way through it than to get fucking go through it.
Yeah, go through
correct,
it.
Correct. So.
the people I work with and just in my own life, I mean, I think this is where addiction really comes in. And there's three main types. It's going to be chemical addiction, could be drinking, could be cocaine, like whatever overrides that discomfort. Mm-hmm. It could be behavioral, like some people washing hands, shopping, driving fast, like whatever blows off steam and brings up the adrenaline to, again, drown out the discomfort of those feelings. Or even, and this one was new to me a few years ago, learning that people, like a love or sex addiction.
Oh, yeah.
Those are kind of the three main categories. And so these are all just ways we self-soothe, but I think an addiction is kind of more in the space of like, even though I know this is bad for me, I do it anyway because I don't know any other better way to manage this discomfort. And so it's another category of recovery that I work on for myself and for the people that I end up coming to see me. And that's we can almost always trace it back to something in childhood that came up, right?
Yeah.
It all comes back to childhood.
Your parents fucked you up. We gotta stick some needles in you. We gotta do some EMDR. We gotta do some meditation. Yeah, man, it's really interesting to me, like all of the trauma that we can collect and how it just like goes into the rest of our lives unless we really are diligent and about our self-work. And even then.
Well, it still comes up because we get triggered, right?
Yeah, of course.
I think the word triggered has been used quite a bit lately in popular culture. But to me, it really means that when I'm not triggered, I'm like calm, I'm chill. Like your nervous system is not hyper aroused, right?
Right.
But when you hear something, boom, you're in survival mode. And whatever you've done in the past to survive. So like in childhood, if you had codependent tendencies or narcissistic tendencies, that is just hardwired into your system. Doesn't mean it can't be unwired, but you got to become aware of it. And then that's how you start working with it when it comes up in the situations that trigger you. And ultimately, we can be great, compassionate people. Like I could be a flawless therapist or whatever you want to call it in my everyday life, but then all of a sudden in relationship, the place where maybe I've received the most trauma, I could just hear somebody say one thing and then boom, I'm in that fight or flight response and I'm all the way into a habit and I'm down that rabbit hole and I'm thinking codependently or anxiously. Like with these attachment styles. Mm-hmm. And then that just is a great big filter for whatever we experience and say, the things we don't say, the things we don't do.
Right.
Because we're not really rational when we're in that fight or flight mode, right?
No, not at all. Does it say that we're in a reptilian brain?
Reptilian mind.
Reptilian mind. Get out of the lizard.
Yeah.
Flight or kill.
Yeah. I was actually listening to a good podcast and Fair and I were talking about how this woman categorizes, when we get into the, into the survival mode, it's kind of a lizard brain because something will happen and we think we're going to die. And we have to, you know, be able to be aware of what is triggering us, but as you know, and know what to do to soothe ourselves, and to know that we alone can soothe ourselves, and we don't need to look at substances, and we don't need to look at codependency, look at other people to help us soothe ourselves. And I think that when as an international adoptee, I had two sets of caregivers. So my first set of parents, of course, that was a childhood trauma that definitely wired my brain at that point and automatically had put me into the fight or flight mode before at a very young age. And so that type of the reason why I think as an anxious attachment style I attract avoidance is because I'm used to that chaos and the uncertainty and the additional anxiousness comes from the way that I felt with my caretakers, where at certain points they were very responsive and then to my needs and to nurture me. But then they were also the other extreme where there'd be complete silence. And so it was very inconsistent. And so I was just used to that chaos. And having not been taught about healthy ways to soothe myself, that's where I would dabble in different, you know, whether it was alcohol, whether it was, you know, whatever it was mm-hmm. that would mm-hmm. help me get through it.
Yeah. Ooh.
That sounds pretty common in my experience when talking with people. I mean, whatever, regardless of the origin of it, you know.
Is the numbing?
The numbing. Yeah. And that's for all of the, you know, insecure types, those last mm-hmm. three that you mentioned, or if it's a narcissist or a borderline personality or a codependent, there's really an underlying anxiety, I think, for all of those types. Mm-hmm. And this is just how mm-hmm. we work with it. What caught my ear was how you had described at one time you felt like a different, like you were more avoidant. And then it sounds to me like over time, and this is just my guess, but maybe you became more vulnerable and you kind of rotated into a different baseline. I think what I've noticed too is that some of these are really, it depends not only on you, like, I don't know if there's like a constant label or a category we fall into, but definitely depending on the partner we attract, that kind of the way that we relate to mm-hmm. each other can change. Because I mean, I've
right.
dated some people and just been like, I think what some people would say is like needy or mm-hmm. clingy, and ugh, God, that feels terrible. And I've also been with people who to me feel that way, and it just pushes me away, and I'm like, ooh, too much. I'm being, you know,
yeah.
like this feels smothering, and then I just want space. And so I think it's also, sure, maybe we have a baseline category for some of this. Like, I feel like I tend to be more anxious, but I think it also depends on your partner's attachment style,
oh,
right? Like, if you met a secure mm-hmm. person, maybe that's when your baseline comes out, but maybe somebody who's more habitually clingy, maybe that will make you kind of avoidant, right?
Gotta go. Yeah,
I mean, that's what I've noticed for myself, anyway. So,
yeah, I would have to agree with that, because when I was married, I would consider my ex-husband to be a secure, have secure attachment style, and I would say at that point I was more fearful, avoidant. And that's mm-hmm. because I kept everything to myself, and I just did not have the ability to communicate, and I really wasn't aware of what I was even doing. So,
and then
as I started to communicate more, then it's. Then I think I became more of an anxious attachment style, because then I didn't know when to filter myself, and that's something that I continue to work on now as I try to aim to have secure attachment.
Mm-hmm. So it switched when you were married, and then kind of went into the anxious, and then it went into.
Well, for me, it went from fearful, avoidant to anxious, okay. preoccupied.
You went off on your own, and then you had. You know, did all this self-exploration solo.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some people who are now more or less working on their own anxious attachment style, and mm-hmm. I feel like I've become more secure. Mm-hmm. I think for a while there, I was definitely attracting the other two types. And my opinion on all this is like, just like if we cut our arm, our body heals. I think our subconscious mind also wants to heal. But the way the subconscious mind, in my opinion, works is it attracts something to us that will probably trigger some of that stuff that we have left over mm-hmm. that still needs to be metabolized and processed and then learned from. Because my opinion is that when we do those numbing activities, whether it's a chemical or whatever I listed before, that prevents us from learning and growing in that moment. And so in a way, we have this arrested stage of development. Mm-hmm. And it's just waiting for us mm-hmm. to, you know, go back and recover it. when this stuff comes up. And in my understanding, the best way to address it is to actually do it in the moment and be with your therapist, or if you have a really conscious partner.
Brainwaves. You're creating new pathways.
Yeah.
When you do it in the moment.
You're literally changing that. Yeah. The neuroplasticity kicks in because it interrupts the old habit.
That's fucking amazing.
So I think we attract the people we attract to help us like work on that subconscious process.
I agree.
Definitely so.
And thank you for that, because clearly I'm still working on stuff. I'm still growing, and I hope I always will be, actually.
Yeah, right? You've come far. Both of you have come a long way since I've known you.
Thanks. Yeah, the last 3 years have been a lot of growth. Yeah, humbling.
Yeah. It's awesome. Good work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I couldn't have done it without the partners I've had either. And I wish all of them well. I hope they're finding what they need right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I completely agree with that.
They can go to hell, but I agree with that.
You're in hell.
I love you.
But I hope you're enjoying it. I hope it's the best experience ever.
Oh my God. Thank you, both of you, for being on the Dateable Rebels. I appreciate you both. Is there anything that you would like to say to any last words?
Oh my God, there's so much more I could say, but I don't want to go on and on and on. But thanks for this opportunity. It's really given me a lot of insight to myself and my own process. And it's good to always talk about this stuff, right? Because we all have it in some way, shape, or form. So let's shine a light in the darkness on it, right?
Thank you. Yep, definitely.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone.
Thank you. You have been listening to the Dateable Rebels. Peace! Bye.
Hey, bye. Dot org.